live and move and have our being. And in Psalm 16, 5 through 8 says, "You, Lord, are all I have, and you give me all I need. My future is in your hands. How wonderful are your gifts to me. How good they are. I praise the Lord because he guides me. I'm always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near, and nothing can shake me. His power and presence and rest for our soul is here in this very place today. If he is all you want, get delight in him today, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight in his presence. He is here. He is more than able. He is more than enough. Lord, you are my everything." Can we just let that be our prayer and our cry? Lord, you are all I want. You are all I desire, Lord. Everything that I have is in you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, you are you, in you, Lord. We move, we live, and we have our being in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, may we just push back any distraction, any idle thing in our mind, Lord, that supersedes you, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. You are high and lifted up, Lord, and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of you has to come down, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we want to exalt you. We want to exalt your name that is above every name in this place. In Jesus' name, let's worship the Lord together.
Are gonna fall. are possible. I can mount on wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall.
You can call on him, that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so thankful for his goodness. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just read something. I totally switched that song on everybody this morning. We had practiced a song that I didn't feel like I was really ready for musically, and so we switched it, and I switched it right at the last minute, and I just felt like someone needed to hear that this morning. That, you know, don't forget that you can call on his name, that you are never too far, you are never too far down, you are never too far broke, your marriage is never too far broken, that you cannot call on his name, because all things are possible with him. Right. And you know, and sometimes when I just read this thing that said, when we stop looking at all of those things that are wrong, and we start looking at all of those things that are right, you know, and I have been extremely overwhelmed. And I thought last night, my kids are healthy children. And some of the smallest things that we take for granted every day, when you start thinking on those things and not all right. That is so crazy and all the chaos yes. of life, you become thankful, and a thankful heart is a happy heart. Yes. Aren't you thankful that God gives you peace and strength? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship, and you may be seated if you'd like.
Shout shouted out from the mountaintop, yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountaintop. Yes, the Lord is good forever. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountaintop. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
More and more.
thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we can worship you freely, Lord. I pray, Lord, you bless this offering, every faithful, cheerful giver, and those ones given by faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Forever. People from every nation and tongue, From generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. For who you are. For who you are. You are
even when I'm having a bad day, he's still a good God. Even when I'm having a bad week, he's still a good God. He's good all the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's amazing to me, no matter what kind of emotion we may be experiencing, maybe we're distressed, maybe we're perplexed, maybe we're discouraged, whatever the emotion is, when we come into the house of the Lord and we begin to interact with the presence of a good God, it's amazing how our mood begins to change, how we begin to lift our hands and lift our voice. The power of God begins to work on our lives. Hallelujah. You are good all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
I worship your name, Jesus. Thank
you. We serve a good God who the Bible says desires to give good gifts unto his children. I'm thankful I serve a good God who gives good gifts. Why should I be discouraged? Why should I be upset? It's a blessed life living for the King. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I know that there are probably many needs that are represented here in the house this morning, but one special need that I want us to take to our good God is a family by the name of Stoops family, Jack Stoops and family. This was submitted to us by Brother Mike Duell. Her daughter, Sherry, is having complications from her brain surgery. And so let's lift up this family. I don't know them. You may not know them, but God knows who they are. And so we want to go before the Lord right now. If you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord knows every individual need represented in this place, and he's able to meet and supply all of our needs, the Bible says, according to his riches and glory. So can we call upon him right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. We come before you, God, in thanksgiving, God. We've entered into your gates with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise, Lord, and we're thankful unto you, God. We've come to bless your name, Lord, and now, God, we ask that you would work in these situations, these circumstances, Lord, for the Stoops family, the surgery of this young daughter, God, and dealing with complications, Lord. We know that you are able, God. Let us as a body of believers bind together, God, trusting in your power to work and to move, God, for the other needs represented in this place, God. We believe and trust in you to work, God. Let testimony be made of a God who still cares, a God who still answers in the heart and life of individuals who have faith to call upon your name. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. God, blessed be your precious name, Jesus. Blessed be your precious name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? He's worthy. He's worthy. allow you to be seated for a spell. I do want to make you aware of things by way of announcement. If your nose is working, you can probably smell the smells and the what's drifting up from below. Smells good. I'm looking forward to some natural food, but before the natural food, I'm looking forward to some spiritual food. But we do, following the service, you do have a special luncheon. I'll give you a little bit more about that here in just a little bit towards the end of the service. But everyone is invited. I want you to come downstairs and join us with a meal. Just want to say thank you to all those that prepared this and made this possible. And looking forward to a good time together with precious people and enjoying ourselves. And then after we enjoy ourselves and are full, before we take a nap, we need to do some things around here and getting set up for the harvest party that's happening Wednesday night. So a lot to do, a lot to get ready. So we need your help. If you live close, you may want to go home and change clothes. If you brought clothes with you, we've been announcing this, so hopefully you've done so. And you'll be able to remain a little while after the luncheon and help us in setting up, getting things ready for the harvest party that is happening Wednesday night from 5 to 7. Please, if you have not yet signed up to bring a soup, please do so. The more the merrier. We need a lot of soup because we serve a lot of people that come through. And so we're asking you to help us in that. There are sign-up sheets on the back. We're also asking you to help us by joining in our theme, Noah's Ark. We're going to kind of set up the back for your area as a walkthrough of Noah's Ark. We're not going to go too crazy with the decorations, but what will really help us is if you people will dress up as animals. It doesn't have to be all that grandiose. Some of you I know are going above and beyond, and we appreciate that. Others are you know, just doing cat mask and whisker, whatever. Just something, if you will. You want to help us out and participate in that, and we're just going to greet people as they walk through in the back, have a little bit of display, some decoration, some sights and sounds, that sort of stuff. But we're going to do that and start getting ready for that all tonight. And then we ask you to come Wednesday from 5 to 7 is the time slot that we're going to be doing it here in the church. We'll post these signs outside. Most people in the community know all about it, and they are complimentary every year that we reach out and do this as a part of reaching in our community. So what a great way to make inroads, to talk to people. So we're doing it. We're not. It's not scary. It's not all that. We're just doing a kind of a cool little walkthrough with fun for people to just walk through, and then give them a bag of candy with some church information, and maybe feed them a little bit of soup. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of that. I know there are other things on the calendar. Looking forward to next Sunday, having my parents in service with us. My father ministering in services next Sunday. And so just looking forward to that as well. Other events are on Breeze, are on the church calendar, making you aware of what is happening when. Kids, yes. Kids, where do you want them to be? Here? Here. Okay. They are still doing they're doing this whole missionary thing with Sister Rose is doing for the kids, and so we still welcome the kids to come. And what time are you starting that? Okay, right after. So right while we're setting up, she's going to be doing that with the kids, so they don't have to leave, come back, any of that stuff. So she'll have the kids and be entertaining them and doing that with them. Thank you for reminding me of that. I let that slip. So. Happening right after the luncheon, all the adults and young people are going to be getting together and setting up. She's going to have the children ministering to them there. So just looking forward to a great time together. Why don't you stand to your feet, grab your Bibles if you have them. Be so kind. I'm going to have you turn first to this passage because it may be a little bit more difficult for you to find if you're looking for it in your Bible. Is Zephaniah, chapter number 3, verse number 9. It's been a long time since I have preached from the book of Zephaniah. Start there, and if you would put something there to hold your place at Zephaniah, chapter number 3, and I want you to go all the way back to the book of Genesis. Genesis, chapter number 11, and we'll read some passages there in Genesis, chapter number 11. I'll allow you a few moments to turn in those places, or you can cheat by looking on the screen. So good to have the screen back up and running and everything. Man, just looks so wonderful. Genesis chapter number 11. Begin reading in verse number 1. And the whole earth, everybody say the whole earth. That's everybody. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. Everybody say one language. Skip down to verse number 5. Many of us know this as the story of the Tower of Babel. Verse number 5 says, And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord said, Behold, the people is one, and they all have one language. Everybody say one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I want you to turn to Zephaniah, chapter number 3. Hopefully you've kept your place. For then will I turn the people a pure language. For then will I turn to the people, I will restore, one translation says, I will return to the people a pure language that they may all, everybody say all, everybody, may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. If you were to read it in the Hebrew, it would read like this. I'm not going to, in English, but I'm not going to say it in Hebrew. The English translation of the Hebrew would read like this. Let me say it right. For then I will restore to the peoples a language pure that may call they all on the name of Yahweh to serve him with accord one. To serve him with accord one. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject this morning. One language. One language. Can we pray, Lord Jesus? We love you. We praise you. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. We thank you that we can come together and learn of your word, God. We thank you for how good you are, God, and we can sing songs praising you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, God, that we would understand just how special it is, the language of the Spirit, God, how we would come to understand and more fully, God, grasp the concept of what it means, Lord, to pray in the Holy Ghost, to speak in other tongues. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Brother Sal, man, if you could give me just a little bit more, I will try not to strain my voice. One language. From the creation of man until Genesis chapter 11, the Bible tells us the whole earth is of one language. Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, Seth, Nimrod, Methuselah, all those characters, Enoch, Noah, and his sons, evidently, according to the Bible, they all spoke the same language for a period of about 2,000 years. Same language, evidently, that God spoke as he walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. It was evidently the same language with which Adam named all the animals. It was with that language that Adam called her name Eve because she was the mother of all living. It was with that language that they spoke and they passed down oral tradition and they told one another what was pleasing unto God in the sense of sacrifice. And evidently at some point in time it had some type of written language attached to it, for records were evidently passed down from generation to generation to generation. As we all know, the Bible says that when the Lord looks down, the evil or the imagination of the heart of man was evil continually. And the Bible says the Lord repented that he made man. He caused a flood to come upon the face of the earth, and there was only one man in his family that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and Noah
Howbeit, the Bible says 8 souls were saved from the flood that destroyed the whole earth. From these 8, the Bible lets us know that God commanded them to multiply and replenish the earth. They and their descendants were to scatter abroad upon the face of the earth and to multiply. They were to, if you will, establish nations. They were to go about. They were to scatter. But evidently they had a different mind. Evidently they decided they would not scatter. They would not go, but they would do something unique and something special. They decided in their minds that they would do something. That they would go into the plain of Shinar, and there they would build a tower unto the heavens. There they would do something. They felt in their heart and their mind would ascend them unto the heavens. The Bible tells us in chapter 6 of verse 11, the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Power of unity and the power of being able to communicate in that unity, to be able all speak the same language and have the same voice, if you will, and be of one speech. And the Lord lets us know that in that one language, because they all could communicate and because they all could speak to one another, that nothing would be restrained from them. Whatever they imagined to do, they would be able to do it. And so the Lord said, we must go down. And so we read where the Bible says he went down and he saw the city. He realized it was the language that brought them together, and the power of unity was such that nothing was to be restrained from them. But the problem was that their language was united in rebellion. The problem was that their language was unified not in the will and the plan of God, but based upon their own aspirations and their own purpose. They were to scatter abroad. They were to replenish the earth. But they decided, let's all gather together and let's build this tower unto the heavens. Let's ascend, if you will. Verses 3 and 4 tell us, and they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. We don't want to be scattered. We don't want to do the will of the Lord. We want to do what we want to do. We want to make ourselves a name. We want to ascend unto the heavens ourselves. We want to build the city and the tower. The intent was for them to serve themselves, to build a city into the heavens, to make themselves as the Most High. Sounds pretty familiar when you read the aspirations of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter number 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. They all had one language. And they all had one intent and one purpose. They came together. The power of unity was so great. But they were unified in rebellion against God. And they decided, we are going to build ourselves a city and a tower. And it's going to stretch all the way into the heavens. And we are going to make ourselves a name. Bible says that God came down and he viewed the city and he saw that they were all of one speech and one language. And he said, in order to confound them, we must confound their language. Read it. And so the Bible says that God confounded their language. We don't know if it was a moment thing. We don't know if it was a progressive thing, that as the different trades tried to communicate and they had their own slang and their own words, that before long they couldn't communicate properly. We don't know how it happened. We only know that it did happen. And somewhere in the course of building this tower, this city that they had aspirations to ascend into the heavens, somewhere along the line, they could no longer communicate with one another. Their language was confounded. The Bible says they left off building the city. And the Lord, the Bible says, scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth. And they left off to build the city. They stopped building the city and they scattered. Genesis 10:5 gives us some indication of what happened after the Tower of Babel, after the Lord came down and confounded their languages. For it says, Genesis 10:5, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families in their nations. I realize that is happening, or that is said, if you will, before Genesis 11, but it's letting us know what happens after Genesis 11. What happened is they scattered, and everyone their own tongue after their families and in their nations. And so you have, for almost 2,000 years, all the people speaking one language. And then God confounds their language and they're divided. Different tongues, different people, different nations. Division that happens as a result of the confounding of their language now separates. And now communication is a barrier, because one family does not effectively communicate with another because they have their own dialect and they have their own way of communication. And so now, even in our day and age, from a natural sense, we know that there are thousands upon thousands of languages and even more dialects that exist within those languages upon the face of the earth. It started. Began in Genesis 11 at the Tower of Babel. 2,000 years approximately, they all spoke the same language. Adam all the way to Noah and his sons. And then Genesis 11 happens and God confounds their language. I've said all that as a foundation, a basis, where I read in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 9. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent. I understand that directly this is a prophecy concerning the restoration of the nation of Israel, but indirectly it is a prophecy concerning the restoration of a language. Stay with me. He's talking about restoring one language. He's talking about taking all those that are divided and all those that are separate, and he's talking about bringing them together, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve Him with one consent, that now they may all come together for a righteous purpose, that now that they may all come together and communication may exist on a level that is to serve God. A language that is pure, the Bible says. A language to call upon the name of the Lord. A language in service to God, the Bible says, with one accord. A language that would bring restoration. Now, come ahead to Acts chapter number 1. Jesus has risen from the grave and now He is with the disciples. And the Bible says He's speaking to them of things pertaining to the kingdom of heaven. He's telling them about this promise of the Father that is going to come and that they are to go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem. And in the midst of all this conversation, what Jesus is saying, listen to the questions, or the question rather, that the disciples ask. For they ask in Acts 1 and 6, when they were therefore come together, they ask of Him, saying, listen to their question, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Lord, are You bringing restoration? You've talked about restoring. You've talked about restoration. Will now at this time You bring restoration to the kingdom of Israel? Listen, their question was just a little bit off. Yes, He was all about bringing restoration, but it wasn't the kind of restoration they were thinking. It wasn't restoration of a natural kingdom with a natural language. He was talking about restoration of a spiritual kingdom with a spiritual language. The prophecy to Zephaniah was this. I'm going to restore again a pure language that they may all call upon the name of the Lord with one consent. The Hebrew says that they may serve Him in accord one. That they would be unified. That they would come together in one accord. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly they're cool. You need to understand what that sound from heaven was. It was the restoration of a pure language. It was the restoration of one language, a spiritual language that would be in one accord. Maybe you don't believe me yet. Stay with me just a little bit longer. And He said unto them, it is not for you to know the times nor the seasons which the Father hath placed in His own power. You want to know about restoration? Let me clue you in on restoration. This is how it's going to happen. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come up. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. At Babel, I came down and one language went. At Pentecost, I'm coming down and all the languages are going to. If we could truly understand what this speaking in tongues stuff is all about, it is a language of the Spirit. It is a spiritual, pure language. The restoration is that of one language that they all would call upon the name of the Lord. Let me remind you of what the Hebrew says. For then I will restore to the people a language pure that may call they all. They all on the name of Yahweh. To serve Him with one accord. I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit, but I think we got to make the parallel. After the Holy Ghost falls. And they're all standing around, they're wondering and they're questioning, what meaneth this? What's happening here? Look at what Peter says in Acts 2:21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What did the prophet, what did Zephaniah say? That they may all call upon the name of Yahweh. Listen. You need to understand what Peter is talking about there. Because if we think he's talking about just calling upon the name of the Lord in whatever our native language is, we're missing the point. What Peter is talking about is talking about calling upon the name of the Lord in the one pure language. He's not just talking about coming up and saying, I receive. What he's talking about is receiving the promise of the Father, wherein the Spirit gives the utterance. If I ever had any doubt that the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, if I ever have any doubt that it is of God, that it is essential, that it is necessary, I need to revisit Genesis chapter number 11, and I need to revisit Zephaniah chapter number 3, and I need to revisit Acts chapter number 2. Because look at what happens in Acts 2, 5 and 6. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Out of every nation under heaven. And when it was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded. At Babel, what confounded them was that their language was separated. What confounded them was that now they could no longer communicate because God had confounded their language. Now they're coming together at Pentecost, and what's confounding them is we hear every man speak in our own language wherein we were born. Cretes and those from Phrygia and Pamphylia and parts about Cyrene, we do hear them speak in our own tongue. Are these not all Galileans? They should know our language. They should know our tongue. We're confounded because all the languages have come together. At Babel, they were confounded because the language was separated. At Pentecost, they're confounded because all the languages converge. What meaneth this? What is this? What's going on? And Peter stands up and says, this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters. Do we recognize that Pentecost was a reversal of Babel? And where Babel, they were confounded and dispersed in rebellion. At Pentecost, they converge in service, calling upon the name of God. It's one pure language. The Spirit giving the utterance, the Bible says. Listen, we need to understand that the Holy Ghost, when you and I speak in other tongues, it is a pure language. It is a language maybe that the Apostle Paul is referencing, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels. You know how important it is? I can pray in my native tongue. I can pray in English. Maybe if I'm bilingual, I can pray in Spanish or one of the other languages that I know. But here's the reality. When I pray in whatever my native tongue is, it's based upon my own understanding. It's based upon my own knowledge. It's based upon I form the words that come out of my mouth in recognition of what's going on in my brain, right? But that's not the way it happens in the Holy Ghost. Say it with me. Folks, this is a pure language. This is a language. This is a spiritual. When someone speaks in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, it's not based upon their own intellect. It's not based upon their own knowledge. It's not based upon what they can form in their mental capacity. When someone speaks in another tongue, it is the Spirit which gives the utterance. It is a spiritual language. But it's a pure language with which I call upon the name of the Lord and I recognize my service to Him even though I may not understand what I am saying. Watch. Stay with me. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God. It's a language. I don't really understand what I'm saying. Look. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. I don't even know what I'm saying. They're mysteries, but what's not a mystery is who I'm talking to. What's not a mystery is that it is a spiritual language. What's not a mystery is that it's beyond my own understanding. Look at this. Go down to verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. But go down to verse number 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But my understanding is unfruitful. I don't know what I'm praying. I'm speaking mysteries in the spirit. I believe. Maybe this is a little far-fetched, but I believe that when we speak in other tongues, it is a spiritual language, and I believe that we are commanding angels. I believe that we are commanding the angelic. I believe that when we operate in the Spirit, listen, it's a pure language. You can't defile it. If it is the Spirit giving the utterance, there will never be a wrong word. It is the Spirit which gives the utterance. It is one language, a spiritual language. Romans 8, I'm wrapping up. Stay with me. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. When I'm praying, my understanding's unfruitful. I don't truly understand what I'm saying. But it's my spirit that's praying. That's why Jude said, but beloved, building up yourselves in this most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. You want to know the purest prayer you can pray is when you begin to pray in other tongues. Why? Because the Spirit knows what is the heart and mind of God. The Spirit knows. Look at Romans 8:27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Know how I can be assured that I'm praying the will of God? When I get into His presence and I begin to speak as the Spirit gives the utterance, there is no way in the world that that is anything other than the will of God. Because it's the Spirit giving the utterance. And as the Spirit, listen folks, I know we teach, we preach, we believe, we show according to Scripture that it's essential. It's part of the new birth experience. But if you think that's all it is, you are so missing the point. That is just scratching the surface of what this heavenly language is. That's just the tip of the iceberg of what it means to speak in other tongues. That is just a small portion of the one language. So you and I have opportunity. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Pastor, it says that speaking in tongue stuff, it's all mystical. It kind of weirds me out. I just don't know how that's going to happen. Listen, you need to understand it's a spiritual thing. Bible says it is the Spirit which gives the utterance. What happened at Babel? One language confounded, confused, scattered. Now at Pentecost, one language converged. All nations brought together. And what you and I are going to experience over in the portals of glory. They sang a new song and said, thou hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Listen, I just believe according to the word of God that when we get over there, there's not going to be Chinese and English and Spanish and French and Portuguese. It's not... It's going to be one language. It's going to be language in one city whose builder and maker is God. There's going to be language. There will be no communication barrier. We will all know and be known. Our eyes will be opened. Our ears will recognize. Something miraculous will happen. And we will all speak with one language. Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is the earnest of our inheritance. It's just a little piece. It's just a little portion. One of these days, it will be the only language I speak. One of these days, it will be the forever language. It will be the eternal language. I'm
amazed by the Word of God. I'm so amazed. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, I encourage you. It is so awesome to allow the power and presence of God to take over that most unruly member of your body, where you begin to speak in an unknown tongue, where the Spirit gives the utterance. It is so absolutely wonderful. All over this house, why don't you lift your hands? If you've been filled with the Spirit, why don't you yield to the Holy Ghost? Why don't you allow the Spirit? Listen, you need to understand, it's something that I can cut off. It's something that I can prevent. God will not force it upon any one of us. But for those of us who are willing to speak in a heavenly language, there's one language. There's a pure language. Spiritual language that makes intercession for me. A spiritual language that knows what to pray for when I don't. A spiritual language that gives directions to angels. A spiritual language that speaks into the spirit realm.
Hallelujah. All of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth.
At Babel he came down and confounded the language. At Pentecost he came down and converged the language.
All of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? Of heaven touching earth.
Hallelujah.
The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Break our walls down.
Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Spirit break out. Heaven come. Jesus.
Oh, why don't you lift your voice?
Your name we're lifting high.
If it's been a while since you spoke in tongues, why don't you yield to the Holy Ghost? Why don't you let the Spirit speak through you? Why don't you yield the most holy member of your body?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We want to see your kingdom here, King Jesus. You're the name we're lifting high, your glory, shaking up the earth and skies, revival. We want to see your kingdom here.
Hallelujah.
We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit break out.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Break our walls. Spirit break out.
Hallelujah.
Heaven come down. Our Father, all of heaven rose your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. Sound of heaven touching earth, our Father. All of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth.
Hallelujah.
The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out.
Jesus.
Break our walls down.
Thank you, Jesus.
Spirit break out.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Heaven come down. I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, I hear the breaking, I feel the shaking, the Spirit moving. Heaven's coming down, Spirit break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Come like a flood and such a
Jesus. I watched on YouTube a message by a pastor, you may recognize the name. His name's Robert Morris. He pastors Gateway Church. Very large, non-denominational church, South Lake, Texas, near Fort Worth. According to Wikipedia, their average weekly attendance of 36,000 throughout their campuses. And I watched this pastor, his own pulpit. He said, recounting his own experience, and he said, I was praying and reading the Word of God, and he said, I was studying on praying in the Spirit, and he said, as I begin to read the Scriptures and I begin to pray, I begin to feel this thing rising up in me. He said, I start to lose control of my speaking faculties. He said, I was confused. He said, you need to understand, I was brought up in a denomination that taught that speaking in tongues was of the devil. I said, I was so confused because it seemed like it was right there in the Word of God. I didn't understand how it could be demonic. I said, so I went to a pastor friend of mine, a mentor in my life, and I asked him, I said, what do I do? He said, you just yield to it. He said, He said, I'll give you my own personal testimony. He said, I was at a hotel, and he said, I was going to speak at a conference. And he said, I'm out walking around the pool at the hotel, and I'm praying, and I'm asking God for help in the service, and I'm about to minister. And he said, it begins to happen. He said, it begins to rise up in me. And he said, I lost the ability to speak in my native tongue, English. And he said, all of a sudden, I began to speak in this unknown tongue. And he said, I wasn't just speaking, folks. He said, I was preaching. I was commanding. He said, I was in the theatrics, and I was putting my hand out, and I was preaching in this unknown tongue. He said to his entire
membership, his entire congregation. He said, I'm praying and I'm believing for every one of you to start praying in the Spirit. I want all of you to start experiencing what I've experienced. Listen, this thing is happening, and if you think it's just a Pentecost thing, or if you think it's just an apostolic thing, you're sadly mistaken of what God is doing. There's a converging that's happening. One language that will be for all those who call upon His name. It is not going to matter if you're Baptist or you're Methodist or you're Lutheran or you're non-denominational. It's not going to matter. There's going to be one language. And those of the name are going to begin to call upon the name. Listen, I am so glad that we have not backed away from this. I am so glad that we still hold it in such high importance. I'm so glad we still practice it in our services. There's a learning curve coming for some of them, but we're way ahead, folks. Why not take the opportunity to enjoy what we have? Tell you right now, when God begins to wrap this thing up, it's going to be a God thing. It's going to be a sovereign move. It's going to be something that's going to blow your mind. It's going to be a little bit like heaven here on the earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't know exactly what language they're using, but I believe it's a spiritual language. And I understand, according to the scriptures, that right now, all around the throne of God, they're singing and they're praising. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. I wonder sometimes when I speak in an unknown tongue, if I'm not joining that angel choir in a heavenly language. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so very thankful. I was brought up with an understanding. I'm so thankful. Oh, that I speak in tongues, and it's not something that I'm pretty braggadocious about, Lord. It's something that I've come to cherish. I need it, God. It's the Spirit giving me guidance. It's praying what I have need of before I ask or even think. It's one language, a pure language, giving glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. One more time, can we lift our hands and lift our voice? Oh, there's so much more to understand, God. There's so much more to realize in regard to one language. I believe you're bringing it together, God. You're converging. You're pouring out your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Listen. Please understand, I'm a final shot. But
child learns to talk. They're not fluent initially. You and I as an adult were to learn another language other than our native language, there would be a learning curve. Please understand this. While the Spirit gives the utterance, there is a learning curve for you and I in yielding to the Spirit, allowing that Spirit to speak through us. If you're here and you've never spoken other tongues, I encourage you, seek for it, long after it, pray for it, read scriptures concerning it. Don't settle for anything less. Press toward. If you're here and maybe the only time you've ever spoken tongues is when you initially received the Holy Ghost, I encourage you, don't let that be the only time. Pray. Pray in the Spirit. Apostle Paul said, I pray in the Spirit and I pray with my understanding. I pray both. Both is needful. You're here and it's been a while since you really allowed and you really yielded. You and I need to make more opportunities for ourselves to yield to the Spirit to speak. Howbeit in the Spirit He speaketh mysteries. I'm speaking in one language, heavenly language, just having its effect in the spirit realm. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Thankful for our time together. Lord, bless this food that we're about to partake of here in just a few moments. Bless our remainder of our day together. We ask these things in your precious name. Everybody said amen. Before you go anywhere, stand right where you are. Sister Grimm, you should come, say a few words in regards to what's about to take place. There she is.
As we know, downstairs we're going to have a pastor appreciation lunch. And before we get started with that, we already prayed over the food, so I'm asking that we please let the Wells family go first, the ministers, the elders, and then the rest of us. All right, just out of proper, we want that to happen that way, please. So, as I'm sitting, you know, this week I've been having this on my mind as pastor appreciation. It's the whole month. I know I haven't let my pastor and his wife know this month that I appreciate them, but I do. They've always been there for us. I know sometimes, I'm sure he says, oh no, it's Sister Grimm texting again. She's not going to be here, but I do appreciate them, and I want them to know that. And how many of you know that song, Heavenly Father, We Appreciate You? I've kind of had this in my mind, and if I could sing, I would sing it. It's probably better that I don't. But it would go something like this. Oh, Pastor, we appreciate you. We love you. We adore you. We sit down before you. Oh, Pastor, we appreciate you. Good thing I don't sing. But we also know that behind every great pastor is an awesome, awesome lady. And you know, and in our case, under that awesome lady and that great pastor, there's also three children. And they have to sacrifice as well. Why he's putting things together, why he's tending to people like me, you know, that people call, I need prayer, or, oh, the pastor, the basement's flooded again at the church. You know, they're all sacrificing. So I just want to say that we do appreciate all of them, and we have something for each and every one of them, so we can have the pastor and his family, the children as well, to come up. I'll let you have the card. I'll let Sister Wells have the bag. Slide the little bands off and there's some. something in there for all of you. I also would like all of us to pray for our pastor. I would like us to pray for him now, but every day I know our pastor and his family need lifted up in prayers. They face a lot more than we ever think of. And I know some of his pastors have been here before, but then when you got people like Deanna to deal with, you know, and me. But I just want to say, can we all just gather around and pray for the pastor and his family now as well?
Thank you very much. You guys are always so good to show us appreciation. Some of you have given us personal things, gift cards, pies, all those wonderful things. And thank you so much. It is a pleasure pastoring you precious people. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Thank you, Sister Grimm, for always making sure, even Dana, always making sure that we're recognized. And it means so much. And there's not a group of people on the face of the earth I'd rather have lunch with than you guys. And so let's go eat and have a good time together. God bless you.